KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Jacko as part of the We Real Cool KBOO at the Clinton Jazz Film Series on Thursday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. Jacko tells the story of Jaco Pastorius, a self-taught, larger-than-life musician who changed the course of modern music. Never-before-seen archival footage unveils the story of Jaco's life, his music, his demise, and the lasting victory of artistic genius. Again, that's Jacko, Thursday, October 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information about films and screening times can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. That was Neil Young and Rock Starbucks, as premiered on Democracy Now! The DARC Act is currently moving through the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. There is a movement nationally and locally to stop the DARC Act. With us to talk about that movement is Brett Diamond, Lane County Coordinator for Cultivate Oregon and the Campaign Director for Support Local Food Rights. Brett Diamond, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Talk about Cultivate Oregon, a little bit about what your group does.
Sure. Cultivate Oregon is a statewide group comprised of educators and attorneys and activists concerned about our food system. Basically, through education and community outreach, we're raising public awareness about the consequences of pesticide-intensive genetically engineered crops in our communities. And we're working on growing a regenerative, diverse, and equitable food system for all Oregonians.
And where are you based?
We're based in Portland.
And but you yourself aren't. You're in Lane County?
That's correct. I'm in Lane County. We also have representatives in Southern Oregon as well. Basically, our group came together in the post-Measure 92 environment where a lot of us had worked on that campaign and wanted to further these goals for the state of Oregon, looking at legislative rules and regulations, looking at future ballot initiatives, and then education and outreach.
As I mentioned, the DARC Act is moving through the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, and it is it's the so-called Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Can you talk about what the DARC Act is and why you're following it?
Sure. The DARC Act name is an acronym for Denying Americans Their Right to Know Act, and it's what we are calling HB 1599, as you said, the so-called Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. And there's good news and bad news about the DARC Act. The bad news is that it's a terrible bill that would strip states of all their rights to regulate their own food systems when it comes to genetically engineered foods. It would not only preempt states from adopting any form of regulation about GMOs, whether it be setting aside GMO-free zones, whether it be labeling, any form of regulation on GMOs at all would be preempted at the federal level. And not only would it preempt future efforts, but it would undo the 10 counties in the U.S. who currently have GMO bans, as well as Vermont's GMO labeling bill. Basically, anything about GMOs now that is on the books would be undone by the DARC Act. And so we're very concerned about this. You know, there are some people who are saying, well, you know, even if it passes, you know, we can repeal it or we can modify it. But I think that people need to realize that federal laws like this are extremely difficult to undo or to modify. And just as an example, we can look at the Republicans who now control both the House and the Senate, and their efforts to, you know, undo Obamacare, you know, and they have utterly failed to do that because it's extremely difficult to undo a federal law once it's on the books. And so we realize that, you know, people in their emails and their Facebook feeds, they get pleas, you know, all the time, you know, call today, you know, we must stop the TPP and we must stop CISPA, and there's all these, you know, things that these calls to action that we send to people. But seriously, if you care about clean food, if you care about food transparency, if you care about our right to know what's in our food and our rights to control our local food system, this is huge. It is a terrible, terrible bill, and we really need to do everything in our power to stop it. The good news about the DARC Act is that our efforts are clearly having an impact on the biotech industry. This really, I think, is their last-ditch desperation Hail Mary attempt to protect the status quo. And they are hoping that they can kind of slide this in, and it really is like the ultimate Monsanto Protection Act. And so, you know, we need to do whatever we can to stop it from taking effect. And towards the end of our conversation today, I'll give some people some numbers they can call and some concrete steps that they can take. But, you know, the chemical companies that create GMOs have a big problem. And that problem is that in the 20 years that they've had GMOs on the market in the U.S., they have created zero consumer demand for their products, none. Ironically, the very first GMO released into the states for consumption was the Flavor Saver tomato, and it was labeled. It had a little label right on it that said genetically engineered. But much to their dismay, the American public took a look at this tomato, and they said, you know, no thanks. We'd just as soon have natural tomatoes instead of lab-created ones. And ever since then, basically, the chemical companies that produce the GMOs have declared war on the American consumer and said, look, we don't care if you want them or not, you're going to eat them. And if we have to hide them in the food supply so you don't know that you're eating them, then that's what we're going to do. And over the past 20 years, they've spent an estimated $600 to $700 million lobbying and making campaign donations to fight food transparency, to fight GMO labeling. And they do this because they know that in the 64 countries that do have GMO labeling now, very, very, very few people will buy those products. And that ultimately is what this entire fight is about, is they're afraid that we won't knowingly buy GMOs, and they want to continue to hide them in the food system so we won't know and we'll keep buying them.
And this act has already passed the House.
That's correct. Yes, it did. And it is going up for a hearing in the Senate Agriculture Committee on Wednesday. And in order for it to come to a vote in the Senate, they need a Democratic co-sponsor, which so far they have been unable to find. And if they do not get a Democratic co-sponsor for the bill, it would never come to a floor vote. So we are hopeful that that is exactly what will happen, that it will die in committee because no Democrat will co-sponsor the bill. However, we know that the chemical companies have made large contributions to both the House and the Senate members, and there's no doubt that they are going to try and call in those favors now and find someone on the Democratic side to co-sponsor this bill. So we really need to put pressure on the Senate, and especially on Democrats, to not have anybody co-sponsor this bill so it will die in committee.
And how long do they have to find somebody?
That's a good question, and I don't have a solid answer on that. I know that they recess sometime in November, you know, for the holidays, and we also know that in order to comply with Vermont's labeling law that you know, was put in place by the legislature, that the food manufacturers have about a 6-month lead-in in with which to make changes to their labels and then get those labels into production on their products and through their distribution chain. And so that deadline is rapidly approaching, as if Vermont's labeling law survives as legal challenges, and I think there's encouraging evidence that it will, then they're going to have to begin the process of putting labels on their products for sale here in the U.S. So I think the general school of thought is that if we can hold off any action on the DARK Act until the end of October, the beginning of November, that they will have to really give up in their efforts and just go ahead and start labeling to comply with Vermont's law.
Right. It sounds like you have a kitty there.
Yep, he's not very happy at the moment.
Okay. Well, Brett Diamond, talk a little bit about how it got this far. Who proposed it, and what's their relationship with the companies such as Monsanto and Syngenta and that kind of thing?
Yes, Mike Pompeo was the congressman who introduced the bill, and he has very strong ties to Monsanto and the other biotech companies. And, you know, the biotech industry has been, for years, has been saying that what they really, you know, support is voluntary labeling, that they don't think that food manufacturers should be compelled to do that. And that sounds really good, and that's kind of the essence of the DARK Act is that voluntary labeling is the answer. But here's the issue. Out of the 200 million products currently available for sale in the U.S. to consumers, would you care to venture a guess on how many of those products are currently voluntarily labeled that they contain genetically engineered ingredients?
I think it's very, very low.
It's zero. Not a single one. And so the idea that somehow that voluntary labeling is the answer is just ridiculous. They'll also say that, well, we already have the organic standard, and if you want to avoid GMOs, you can just buy organic. And organic is the single fastest growing segment of the food industry with an annual growth rate of around 20-22%. And that's very encouraging. However, right now, organic products make up about 5 or 6% of the foods that are available for us to buy here in the U.S. So what we really just need is food transparency. Well, people want to know what's in their food. Poll after poll after poll in the U.S. shows that over 90% of Americans feel that foods should have more information, not less, and that they have a right to know if there are genetically engineered products in their food.
This bill would strip the Food and Drug Administration of some of its powers. Can you talk about that? And that seems unprecedented in how departments are, how their duties are regulated.
Yeah, it is unprecedented, and I believe that the effort to do so is really to, you know, concentrate the power where the chemical companies have the most influence and the most control. And it's really kind of ironic because the Republicans are the ones who are largely pushing this, and they're, you know, well known for advocating for states' rights and for getting big government off of our backs and not creating new bureaucracies and letting the free market decide. And yet here they are lining up behind the DARK Act that is completely a 180 from all of those ideals that they claim that they stand for all the time. It would strip states of their right. It would create new government bureaucracy. It is big government definitely getting in the way, and it's clearly not letting the free market decide. You know, again, this is the big problem that these companies have, is there is no consumer demand for their products, zero. And so they could take their money and they could launch advertising campaigns and education campaigns. And, you know, GMOs are so great, you would think they would put a label that would say, contains GMOs, exclamation point, like it's, you know, a good thing. But they, if they thought that putting a label on products that contain GMOs would increase their sales, they would be all over it. But their own internal studies and other polling shows that people, when they have a choice of whether to buy GMO ingredients or not, they don't. And they know that. And so that's what this fight is really all about.
There's an article that's linked on your, one of your sites, written by Ronnie Cummins and Alexis Baden-Mayer. And it's four ways Monsanto might launch a sneak attack to get the DARC Act passed in the Senate. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so they know that the public opinion is very much against them, and they're getting an earful. Their phones are ringing off the hook. Their email boxes are filling up. They're being, you know, the Senate and the Congress. And they know that this is an issue that is very important to American consumers. And the flip side of that is they have a very powerful biotech industry and all their money and all their lobbyists who very much want this to pass. And so Congress has a habit of taking very touchy, very controversial topics, and instead of having them be transparent and just bringing them to a vote, you know, on the floor where we can all watch on C-SPAN and see what they're doing, they have a way of doing sneak attacks. They can attach riders to a bill. They can. There's a variety of ways that they can do, and the article that you mentioned that is on our website, I think, really clearly spells out what some of those are. An example would be if there is a budget showdown in Congress, although it looks like right now that may or may not happen. It's probably leaning towards not happening. As part of continuing funding for the government and keeping the government open, they would have a continuing resolution that would be a short gap spending permission to keep the government open while they negotiate the budget. And a senator could attach a rider to that bill that would include the DARC Act. And then President Obama would be in a situation, because he doesn't have line item veto powers, of basically either vetoing the bill and shutting down the government, you know, just to prevent the DARC Act from passing, or holding his nose and signing the bill with the rider attached and keeping the government open. And, you know, despite President Obama's promises, his campaign promises in 2008 to, you know, realize that we want GMOs labeled and that we have a right to know what's in our food, really his actions on that front have not been very clear. And so I think there are a fair number of people who are concerned that if a rider were attached to a bill and it showed up on President Obama's desk, that he would probably not have the wherewithal to veto it just to protect Americans and our right to know it's in our food.
Yeah, the list also included the possibility that they could sneak it into the Child Nutrition Act reauthorization bill.
Yes. And my understanding, and I am not a political expert or an attorney, is that in the Senate right now, that they can attach riders to any bill anonymously. They don't even have to disclose who did it. And then it just comes up for a quick vote, an up or down vote, with no ability to strip any riders, and it gets passed that way. So yes, that was another option for them.
Well, let's start talking about what, well, first let's talk about specifically in Oregon, how this bill could affect what Oregon has done on this issue.
Yes. So I think most people know that Jackson and Josephine counties created GMO-free zones in 2014 at the ballot box in May of 2014. Jackson County was sued by the chemical companies, and they won the first round, although an appeal is, we don't know for sure if an appeal is coming, but they did win their first round in court. And then Josephine County just implemented their GMO ban, and the day before, they were also sued by the biotech industry. But as it is right now, both of those laws are on the books, and they stand. They were ballot initiatives that were signatures were gathered from voters in their counties. They put it on the ballot, and both of them passed by large margins. Jackson County's passed by 67%, and Josephine's County's passed by 58%. So the people of those counties spoke loud and clear that they wanted to protect their local food systems, and they wanted to create GMO-free zones there. However, the DARC Act would completely undo the results of that election and would set aside those GMO-free zones for Jackson and Josephine County.
So let's talk then about what can be done by people who want to make sure the DARC Act does not pass.
Yes, let's do that. It's always good to put actions behind the words. And so the most important thing people can do is call their senator. And tell them that we want to see more food transparency, not less, that we don't want the federal government to strip states' rights to control our local food system by regulating GMOs, that we don't want the federal government to undo the will of the voters in Jackson and Josephine County, who spoke loudly and clearly that they wanted GMO-free zones in their counties. And so calling your senator is probably the single most important thing you can do. And it would be really helpful if you could do so this week, because as I mentioned earlier, it is coming up for a hearing in the Senate Agriculture Committee on Wednesday. And I can give you some numbers to call. So to get in contact with your senators, you can call 202-224-3121. That number is sometimes busy, so I have another one. That is 202-417-3113. And encourage Senators Wyden and Merkley to vote no against the DARC Act, and to encourage other members of the Senate who might be thinking about co-sponsoring this terrible bill to not do that. Another number to call is the number for the Senate Agriculture Committee itself, and that number is 202-224-2035. And again, they have a hearing scheduled, I believe it's 11 a.m. Eastern Coast time for on Wednesday, which this would be the first hearing in the Senate Agriculture Committee on 1599.
What do you expect to happen in that hearing?
Well, you know, it's always hard to say. I mean, they have to go through the motions, and there's a bit of political theater, you know, around certain bills, and I think that there certainly is on this one. And I have no doubt that they will have, you know, experts there lined up to testify about, you know, why the consensus is that GMOs are safe and why putting a label on them would, you know, unduly alarm and confuse consumers. And it's really the same rhetoric that we've heard, you know, for 20 years now. And I think it's important to note that, you know, there's a clean food, a food transparency movement that is sweeping not only the U.S., but the world. In the past 6 weeks, something incredible has been happening in Europe that most of the media in the U.S. hasn't even covered. And that is that two-thirds of the European Union has just banned the cultivation of GMO crops in their countries. Of the 28 countries in the EU, 20 of them have banned GMO cultivation. And we're not talking about labeling, or we're not talking about, you know, voluntary disclosure, or even a couple states or regions within those countries. banning GMOs. Entire countries have banned their cultivation now. And all of those countries have released, you know, a statement explaining why. But basically what they're saying is, while there may or may not be short-term benefits to GMO crop cultivation, in the long term, it's just not worth the risk. And with the new information we have from the World Health Organization's cancer experts declaring Roundup as a probable human carcinogen, and knowing that 80 to 85% of all the GMO crops out there on the market right now are engineered to be used with Roundup, these countries have been taking a firm stand that they don't want GMOs in their country. And so here we are in the U.S. talking about labeling when two-thirds of Europe in the past 6 weeks has completely banned GMOs.
So once the hearing is completed on Wednesday, is there another time related to this act that you think will be a key time, like when the deadline is for some Democrat to co-sponsor it, for instance? What's the timeline like for the future of this?
My understanding is that they will go into recess for the holidays around mid-November. So if they can't find a Democratic co-sponsor really in the next couple of weeks, I think most of us would agree that chances are pretty high that it will die in committee. However, as outlined, you know, by Ronnie Cummins and Alexis, there are other ways that they could try and sneak this in. And again, you know, they know that they're facing huge public opposition to what they're trying to do. They know it's extremely unpopular. We have no doubt that they will try to do whatever they can to get this passed. And if that means doing it, adding it as a rider anonymously, sneaking it into another bill, that, you know, they're going to do whatever they can do to try and get this passed, because really this is their last ditch, desperate Hail Mary attempt, you know, to protect their profits. They know that public sentiment is against them. Again, two-thirds of Europe just have banned GMOs. Russia announced a ban. That's another 450 million hectares of land. Other countries are lining up as well. We think there's going to be another three or four in the European Union that are also going to announce bans here shortly. So public sentiment is clearly on the side of food transparency and more information about our food, not less. And this really is their Hail Mary attempt, and we need to do whatever we can to stop this terrible bill from passing.
Brett Diamond, where should people go if they want more information on this, exactly how to proceed, the numbers you mentioned, all that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, would you like me to say the numbers again?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, let's do that. So there is a Senate Agriculture Committee hearing on the DARC Act on Wednesday. So if people could call today, tomorrow, and Wednesday directly to the Senate Agriculture Committee and express their opinions on the DARC Act, that would be most helpful. And their direct number is 202-224-2035. It would also be helpful for you to call your senators, Senators Wyden and Merkley, and let them know that you would like them to promise to vote no on the DARC Act and to do their best to ensure that no other Democratic senator will co-sponsor this bill, so it will die in committee. And the number to reach them is 202-224-3121. And another number is 202-417-3113. And if you'd like to know more information about Cultivate Oregon and what we are doing throughout the state, along with information on what else, other things you can do, other steps you can take on the DARC Act, we're at cultivateoregon.org. And one last thing, in addition to calling our lawmakers, which is very important, the other constituency that really needs to hear from us are the food manufacturers themselves. You know, it seems like a week doesn't go by when some other food manufacturer is announcing that they're going to go organic or they're going to go GMO-free. But they're doing that because we're putting pressure on them. So go to these companies' Facebook pages, email them, call them, Coke, Pepsi, Smucker's, General Mills, Kellogg's, all the big companies, and let them know what you think about your right to know what's in your food.
Great. Thank you so much, Brett Diamond. We're almost out of time, but thank you for your words and your suggestions for actions. We hope to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brett Diamond is the Lane County Coordinator for Cultivate Oregon and the Campaign Director for Support Local Food Rights. This is Kathleen Stevenson. I'll put these phone numbers at the front desk here at KBOO. And stay tuned. Coming up, it's KBOO New News and then Noontime Jamboree here on KBOO Portland.
And now the KBOO News at noon for Monday, October 19th, 2015. In local news, demolition has begun on the iconic Gasco building located just east of the St. John's Bridge. Despite protests from local activists, the building's owner, Northwest Natural Gas, has declared the building to be structurally unsafe and contaminated with asbestos and lead. The 102-year-old building has sat empty for the last 57 years. The demolition should be completed by Halloween. The record number of violent gang incidences continues to climb in Portland. At least 15 gang shootings were reported in the last 2 weeks, and the official statistics do not include the two people shot this last Saturday or the two shootings reported on Sunday. There have now been well over 150 violent gang-related incidences this year. This represents a 25% increase over the previous record